Hello, I'm Bart Isaac, PharmD. Welcome to this informal discussion between myself and thought leader and endocrinologist Scott Isaacs. Dr. Isaacs is actively involved in NASH management and research and works in the endocrinology practice setting. Before we begin, Dr. Isaacs, can you please state any relevant disclosures you might have?
I'm a clinical endocrinologist in Atlanta, Georgia, in private practice at Atlanta Endocrine Associates.
Dr. Isaacs, could you briefly describe your practice setting and include what proportion of your time is spent managing NAFLD NASH compared to other diseases?
Well, as an endocrinologist, I see patients with a wide variety of endocrine disorders, but a lot of them are cardiometabolic in nature. So I see patients with diabetes and obesity and hypertension and dyslipidemia. So a lot of those also happen to have NAFLD and NASH. And so the management of these patients is comprehensive and is global. And so part of that is managing liver disease alongside managing all of their other metabolic conditions.
Let's spend the next portion of our discussion talking about how NASH patients are referred to you and how you then work them up to understand if they have at-risk NASH. Please reference any guidances currently available when needed, as you consider both patient identification and risk stratification in your practice settings. Do you see this as a future trend in endocrinology?
So most of the patients referred to me are not specifically referred for NAFLD or NASH. They're referred for diabetes or obesity or other endocrine conditions, and they have not even been diagnosed a lot of the time. They may have a history of elevated liver enzymes. They may have been told, oh, that's nothing to worry about. Your enzymes are stable, even though they're high. And when they see me and I tell them that the liver may be an issue that we need to look into, a lot of times they're surprised. And so what we want to do is we start off with non-invasive testing. And the first test that I do is the FIB-4, which is a simple mathematical calculation that uses liver enzymes, the AST and the ALT, along with the platelet count and the patient's age. And we use that number that is calculated to determine if patients are at low risk or high risk or at indeterminate risk for advanced liver disease or liver fibrosis. So the patients who have an indeterminate risk will then get a second non-invasive test, which would either be a fiber scan, VCTE or elastography, or they'll get a blood test like the ELF, enhanced liver fibrosis. And those will be used to further clarify the indeterminate patients if they're at low risk or high risk. And so I tend to follow guidelines, and I like to use the guidelines from ACE, the American Association of Clinical Endocrinology, or the AASLD, which recently came out with guidance. And they're both very similar using this approach, this two-step approach of starting with the FIB-4 and then using a second non-invasive test to clarify those indeterminate cases.
Dr. Isaacs, do you have patients referred to you for NAFLD NASH workup and management? And do you identify patients within your practice potentially referred to diabetes for reasons other than having NASH?
Well, that's the thing, is most of them that are referred to me are not referred for NASH. They're referred for diabetes or other conditions. And we know by the statistics that a large proportion of patients with diabetes are going to have NAFLD. In fact, no one's going to give me the diagnostic award for diagnosing NAFLD in a patient with diabetes because they almost all have it. And so really, the important point is to identify those high-risk patients and to do non-invasive testing to determine their risk for advanced liver fibrosis.
What information generally comes to you from primary care, including any tests already done with a referral, and what steps do you take to further work up a patient to determine if that patient has at-risk NASH?
So most of the patients that come to me have already had basic testing done, including a metabolic panel, a CBC, they may have had their lipids done or thyroid test, and that's enough to do the FIB-4 screening. So they usually have that information when they come to see me. The secondary testing, the fiber scan, the ELF testing is rarely done, and so that's something that we frequently have to do. Also, a lot of times we'll see patients that have incidentally discovered steatosis on imaging. So they may have had an ultrasound for their gallbladder, or they may have had a CT scan for some other reason, and hepatic steatosis is diagnosed incidentally. Sometimes it's addressed and sometimes it's not.
Dr. Isaacs, how do you go about diagnosing NASH, risk stratifying for at-risk NASH, and ruling out for potential cirrhosis? Additionally, which guidances do you use to help you with this risk stratification? Please include any tests you might use, such as imaging, serology, et cetera.
So we want to start with a Fib4, and a lot of times that gives us the information we need, because if patients have a low Fib4 score, then we know that they are at lower risk for advanced liver disease, but they remain at high risk for cardiovascular disease, for cardiometabolic complications. For those patients that have high Fib4 scores, greater than 2.67, those are the patients that need to be referred to the liver specialist. However, they still remain at high risk for cardiometabolic disease, so we need to have that team approach with the liver specialist and with the endocrinologist or the primary care physician. Sometimes we'll do additional imaging. We may do liver ultrasound, although it's not the most sensitive test. Sometimes it's helpful for the patient to visualize in their mind that they have hepatic steatosis when a blood test alone doesn't really convince them. But for me, I don't need to have an ultrasound to diagnose hepatic steatosis.
Focus specifically on Fib4. Do you get patients referred to you with a Fib4 that's already been calculated? And how commonly are liver enzyme elevations the key trigger for a patient to be referred to you for further workup for NASH?
I almost never see patients that have had Fib4 calculated in advance. In fact, I would go so far as to say the only patients I see that have that are the ones that are coming from the hepatologist. So I think it's really important for us to spread the word to primary care that the Fib4 is an incredibly important screening test that's easy to do to help identify those patients who are at risk for advanced liver disease.
What are your thoughts on the following approach that might or might not fit into your practice patterns today? For screening patients that might have at-risk NASH, with three or more metabolic risk factors, including type 2 diabetes, obesity, hypertension, and dyslipidemia, and then the use of a non-invasive test such as a FibroScan, FAST, or ELF if that FibroScan is not available. With other causes of chronic liver disease ruled out and non-invasive testing that might suggest this patient has at-risk NASH, then that patient can be referred to a specialist for any other confirmatory testing. How does this fit with or conflict with what you see in practice today?
Those are extremely good points, because the patients that you just listed, diabetes, hypertension, obesity, dyslipidemia, those are the patients at highest risk for NAFLD and for NASH. And in fact, the more metabolic risk factors they have, the greater the risk. But the biggest risk is type 2 diabetes. So if I see a patient with obesity and type 2 diabetes, there's already a 90% chance that they're going to have NAFLD and likely NASH or even liver fibrosis. So those are the patients that need to be identified and screened.
Shifting gears briefly, what are your thoughts on how to best go about educating primary care on a simple approach to identifying patients that potentially have NASH, and then working them up or referring them to determine if they have at-risk NASH? Would it make sense to have primary care or other referring providers identify all patients with metabolic risk factor combinations and refer or apply at least some tests and other workup before referring, recognizing ELF is more readily available and FibroScan is somewhat limited but useful, especially to both confirm steatosis as well as assess liver stiffness? And are there other screening tests available that primary care could use to help identify patients for referral that are more likely to have at-risk NASH and thus require specialty management?
We have some very good points. And the first is that we do have a great need for increasing education among not just primary care providers, but all providers. And there have been studies that show that there is a knowledge gap about NAFLD among providers. And there's also a knowledge gap about the existence of NAFLD among patients. And so that's the first step, is to increase awareness. The second thing is that people are overloaded, doctors are overloaded, and they see these patients every day that have NASH, but they're treating their diabetes and hypertension and dyslipidemia. And in a 15-minute office visit, it can be a challenge to add one more diagnosis, one more set of testing. And so we need to figure out easy ways to do that screening, to be able to calculate the FIB4, embedding it into the electronic medical record, or having very simple ways of getting that calculated easily, such as on your iPhone. And so that's step one, is being able to just do that basic testing. Now, that may be enough for a lot of the primary care doctors, and they can manage the low-risk patients on their own, and they could refer out the indeterminate patients and the high-risk patients. But if they want to do additional testing for those indeterminate patients, they could do a second non-invasive test, such as the FibroScan or the ELF. And as you pointed out, the FibroScan can sometimes be difficult to get. It's a point-of-care test. It sometimes is not available at imaging centers, and it's something that's at the hepatology office. And so the ELF test is a blood test that's easy to order. It's available at commercial labs, and it can provide the information that's needed to help risk stratify those patients with indeterminate FIB4 scores.
I want to close by thanking you for this insightful and practical discussion. Dr. Isaacs, I'll let you have the final word on anything you think is relevant for our audience as we close out this discussion.
Well, I think it's important for everybody to know that NAFLD is the most common cause of chronic liver disease, and soon to become the number one cause of needing a liver transplant. NAFLD patients are coming to our office every day, and many of them are undiagnosed and untreated. But NAFLD can progress. It progresses to NASH, fibrosis, and cirrhosis. And once it gets to cirrhosis, it's not reversible. So the important point is to diagnose our patients early when it's reversible so that we can treat them. We have treatments that are available now with lifestyle, with diet, exercise, and weight loss, as well as managing their diabetes and their hypertension and their obesity. And so by applying the treatments that we have available, we can treat NAFLD and prevent that progression to cirrhosis.
Dr. Isaacs, thank you for this insightful discussion and your time.
Well, thank you for having me.